Blog Talk Radio.
Up in life, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know him, but fuck him, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talks picking it up. Let's go.
Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still even him starstruck. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from writing raps. Put it together himself, got a picture connect, never asking for someone's help.
What's up, Granny? Hello? How's it going? And, of course, I don't have my resident co-host on just for the moment. I've got to switch tabs, folks. Sorry to be going into detail. This is the Monday Night Raw before SummerSlam and also SmackDown Live before SummerSlam. The Heatwave Tour is coming to a city near you. If you have any questions, please feel free to call in toll free at 213-943-3422. Well, I get what's going on. I don't know what's going on with my studio. So hang on tight, folks, while I get Sylvester. Hang on tight while I get Granny. Everything's askew for now, but I will talk wrestling as best of my ability. Difficult. Yeah. All right, folks. While we are waiting for my studio to warm up, I don't know what's going on, but I can guarantee you I will get things settled. You know, we in professional wrestling have a term that says, keep it going, man, just keep the show going. And I think tonight's Monday Night Raw is going to be special because it's right in between the sandwich of the pay-per-view, all-women's pay-per-view, which was announced last week, Evolution. October 28th, I believe, is the date of that pay-per-view. Thank you for inquiring the questions. Okay, folks, while we're waiting, I'm just going to talk wrestling. And Granny, I apologize, dear. Okay, got in the back a little bit online. Yay! Hi, Granny!
Can you hear? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
This thing's gonna... Yes.
Well,
dear,
you know, I
so
could
sorry.
Hear you, but I was on cue, and I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. So I don't know if it was where I was at or what it was, but.
No, it was basically my computer, Granny. Geez, you know. We got Sylvester coming on here in a bit, Granny. And let's see here. Dial, you stupid thing. Okay. This is ridiculously retarded. We're having technical difficulties. There we go. I don't want to play some in the screen. God bless it, folks. Well, we're going to have Sylvester Fox on here in a bit. If I can just get this thing freaking going. 701, yes. Dialing. Okay, it's dialing. All right, Granny, while we have you on the horn, so we've had some big announcements in wrestling so far as in regards to women's wrestling. And the all-women's pay-per-view Evolution, folks, is October 28th. Granny was correct. And you know what? Kind of think of it, I'm going to say this right now. I'm excited to see who's going to be on the card for that one. I believe Melina, let's see here, Michelle McCool, Trish Stratus, Lita, a lot of the big names from prior WWE and Legends of Wrestling will be in attendance, so I'm excited. It's God bless, man. I've been dialing the phone number forever. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Can
well,
you still hear me? Can you still hear me, B-Train?
Yes, I can still hear you, Granny. It's just I'm trying to dial in the guests, and I don't know. Come on. Okay. While we're waiting on Sylvester Fox, folks, we're going to talk about professional wrestling like we normally do, Granny and I, just to spare the time while we have 25 minutes or an hour or whatever to do it. So I'm back on my regular work schedule. Everything's not askew. I'm not traveling from NY to NCI. So WFC is coming up again August 11th. Get your tickets. It's for a good cause. Donate whatever you can to this charitable cause. It's in, is it in Claremore again, Granny?
Claremore, Oklahoma, at the Claremore Community Center. I think that's actually where it's going to be this month and next month.
Okay, and I'm guessing that big few names are going to be there. There may be a battle royal. There may not be this time.
Well, I don't know so much about a battle royal, but I do know that there's going to be an 8-man tag team match for the main event. It's going to be the Villains versus Space Age and Tommy Dean. And are you familiar with the name? And I'm going to be nice and call him his right name right now, but are you familiar with the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony? He wrestled for TCW back in the day. He wrestled for NWA. He's got his own wrestling show down in Dyersburg. Are you familiar with that name, B-Train?
I'm kind of familiar, but not really.
He's making his WFC debut against Colt Kilbane at WFC on August 11th.
I see. I can't while I try and solve this issue. So he's going to be there for the WFC. And aside from that, like I said, I wanted to discuss more about Monster Factory because Kurt Gannon and myself, we just came from that institution. And let's see here. Let me see if it'll do it in this one. We just came from Monster Factory not too long ago, Granny. It was a good time.
And I know poor Kurt, we need to send our well wishes out to Mr. Kurt Gannon. I guess he'd been dealing with the flu all last weekend for the past week or so since he got back from Monster Factory. I saw a couple posts from him on Facebook. So, Kurt Gannon, our prayers are with you, my friend. Hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, Kurt is doing a little better, but that's weird. I don't know why. Okay, this is weird, Granny. Yeah, Kurt's doing a little better ever since he come from Monster Factory. Just a little adjustment to the weather out east. New Jersey was like in fall temperature. And so, folks, I don't know what's going on with the whole dial-in, I guess, type thing. You know, gotta love blog talk, right? But anyways, while we're waiting on Sylvester, we'll talk more about Monster Factory. Monster Factory is going to be on TV now. It's going to be, I don't know what network Danny's going to be on, but I do know that it's a pretty big deal because they are now partnered with Ring of Honor Dojo. And that is a pretty big deal because, let's see, invite guest Yeah, well, I'm sorry. It is a pretty big deal because Danny is connected to a lot of big names in the business, and we all know in the wrestling world that he, by far, is one of the best promoter, or one of the best promoters, coaches, head guys to talk to, because he's got Sheamus as a graduate. He's got Matt Riddle. The list goes on and on, and I apologize, folks. I don't know what's going on here. I'm trying my damnedest. I'm not trying to make this a joke, but, you know.
V-Train, were we not going to have a moment of silence for the wrestlers that passed away yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Within the last couple of days?
Yes, Brian Christopher.
Too bad we couldn't. Too bad we couldn't do a 10-bell salute or something for him.
Yeah, but Nikolai Volkov, folks, can we please have. Yep. Well, folks, our guest is apparently on. So.
We'll do that before the end of the show.
Okay. Okay. All right, folks. Well, Sylvester's about to join us. I don't know if he's going to connect or not, but I'm hoping to God this works, because I finally got a hold of Sylvester. Are you there? Oh.
Gotta love modern technology, people.
Gotta love modern technology, because I just got his number on my screen, and I feel so freaking fracking bad. I apologize, dude, man. Here, hang on a second. It says hold time zero, and I'm like, okay, you know what? This Blog Talk Radio is really getting on my nerves. So, Sylvester, my apologies, my friend. We never had this.
I used to have problems with Blog Talk myself when I used to do that B-Train. I used to have problems every once in a while with the switchboard.
Oh, okay. Well, now it's dialing. What the hell? There we go. I got him.
Hello.
Sorry, man. Technical difficulties. My apologies. Sylvester, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, Brent. How are you today?
Just a bundle of stress. Man, I got a lot of places to be. You know how the manager life is in wrestling. quick question, man. Do you remember a person by the name or name Granny Hulkster? Do you remember her?
Granny Hulkster. Yeah, I believe I remember her. Yeah.
Sylvester, you were on a podcast on the Attitude Era Live with the Icon and Big Swing that I help with.
Right.
And when
you
I found out you were gonna, when I found out you were gonna be the guest today, I said, "Oh, I know him, B Train." I said, "I gave him grief when he was on the Attitude Era
that's
Live."
That's what I was just gonna say.
I wonder
you,
if he'll remember me.
That's right. I was gonna say you were the one not supporting me.
That's right, because I don't like the heels.
That's okay. We got to have a little negativity in the world, don't we?
Hey, you know what? You need somebody to play with you, Sylvester Grant. You know,
absolutely.
If Granny ever gets the opportunity to see you in person, my friend, you better watch out, because you can throw it out to me and I'll dish it out right back to you, darling. So
well,
it's all good.
That's great. Yes, absolutely.
You know, I saw pictures with you and Mean Gene again, and I was like, my God, man, Sylvester gets around.
Yeah, I was afforded the opportunity yesterday to induct Mean Gene into the Minnesota Wrestling Hall of Fame at the Fortune Bay Casino in Tower, Minnesota, for Heavy on Wrestling's event that they had yesterday. It was quite an amazing group of individuals they brought together for that show.
You know, Sylvester, you ought to make, and I pitch this all the time to every one of my guests, you ought to make it out to Monster Factory, because I have a feeling there was only one other manager aside, well, actually two other managers aside from moi. And I asked you this before. Do you think being a manager is a dying art, or do you think it's an art form altogether? You know, managing as you do, I mean, Granny, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but us heels, we stick together. And I think Sylvester's
well,
doing a great
thing. Well,
that's
okay, B-Train. You heels just stick together, darling. You know, I mean, Granny is never going to come to the heel side, even though people are trying to get me to switch over there and see the light. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to happen in this lifetime, people. I mean, you know. My son is saying that it will happen, B-Train. I mean, I have my husband and my son sitting here with me at the table while I'm on the phone with you all. We're out and about running around, running errands today. So there may be a little noise in mm-hmm. the background, and I'm trying to keep it, you know, quieter. But anyways, but yeah, you just go ahead and you heels just stick together and do what you got to do, you know, and Granny will do what I have to do, and everything will be good.
That's right. Win at all costs. That's our motto.
Yeah, you know what? Win at whatever cost. And like I said, Sylvester, man, you should come out to Paulsboro because it was very fun. You know, Danny, he has a very good thing going with his school and whatnot. And he's going to be on TV, dude. So if you and I, you know, he had an event called Double Shot. And I was like, man, the one manager missing aside from me, Carl, and Rocco, we need a fox in the den, if you know what I mean. Because I think that you could guide a lot of those guys at Monster, you know, a lot of victories. And I've seen some of you, I mean, like I said, I'm still in awe and I'm jealous that you got to take a picture with Sherry. I mean, she was pretty much one of my big influences as a kid. And you also got to meet Bobby Heenan, which I'm very, very jealous of, because Bobby is like one of the gods for managers, aside from Corny and all of them.
Yes, I have to say that's true. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, dude, have you ever taken notice of a manager and you start critiquing in your head, well, man, I wouldn't have done that. Like I'm saying, like a JT Davidson, for example, or.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of feedback, so I didn't know. I actually, being straight up serious with you, I had an opportunity on Friday night at one of our shows to give some feedback to a wrestler who was also acting as at the time he told me manager in a main event. So he asked me to watch and give him some feedback on how things were going. And so as they're coming out to the ring, he's announced as being the bodyguard. And so I'm thinking to myself, well, bodyguard and a manager are two completely different things. So as the match goes on, he's behaving like a manager, yet he's the size and being billed as a bodyguard. And so I just, you know, I just talked to him after the show and just said, you know, you know, cowering to the opponent when he came near him, similar to that. And I just gave him some feedback and just said, you know, you got to tell a story, and you've got to tell a story that makes sense. And then it should all flow from there, and it should all come natural from there. So, I think you asked me originally, do I think that the manager is a dying breed? I think to a certain extent, the new manager is the factions. And then the other members of the factions come down to ringside and do, you know, similar things that the managers do, support the wrestler, you know, do what it takes to benefit the wrestler. I noticed that, you know, by default, so to speak, whichever one of the Singh brothers is still working with Jinder is now, you know, serving that role, really. I mean, he's, involving himself in matches. He's influencing referees. He's being the mouthpiece for Jinder, and I think that's awesome. Anytime we have an opportunity to continue to keep the keep the job alive, man. I'm all about it because I think we're a very important part of professional wrestling, and it's a dying breed, so to speak, out there.
Well, I mean, like you said, it's a dying breed. Managers were not as heavy in demand because JT Davidson said it best on my show a long time ago. I'm going to have him on pretty, not today, but soon. But JT said it's basically the guy that rides along with his best friend, and then the promoter has to book him. And he's like, here's my advice to all the managers. He's like, basically, oh,
hi, this is Dr. Joe Royce. I'm unavailable to take your call right now. But if you need your name and number, I'd be happy to get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, you reached Dr. Joe Deutsch. I'm unavailable to take your call right now. But if you leave your name and your number, I'd be happy to get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Holy crap. Sorry.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
In a language that everybody here.
Folks, for all the fucking. Oh my God.
And during the few moments that we
had. Did we lose Sylvester?
I'm still here.
No.
Okay.
Sorry, my computer's having delays today, folks. It's the East Coast. My bad. Anyways, those continuing to say, folks, for all that delay, I can still do my show, even though who's trying to fuck with it. But pardon my French. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Managers, what JT said, is basically a dude that rides with his buddy in the car, goes to the booking, and basically this is what happens. The promoter looks at you and says, gee, I got to pay another guy. I mean, that's literally
right.
Somewhat what you are. Some promoters say, okay, we've heard good things about Sylvester, for example, or okay, we've heard good things about B-Train, or we've heard good things about Carl, or we've heard good things about Rocco. We're going to book them because based on reputation. If you ain't got a reputation as a manager, then you're fucked. Because I went to Danny's camp and he said, you need some fine-tuning, man. It's nothing against you. He is, you know, you're going to be on the lower. He didn't say you're going to be on the lower tier of the card. But basically, man, when you know you're involved in a hardcore match, that's still a match. And you still got to put it on. And you still got to make most of your situation. Because managers, I don't know about you, Sylvester, we have to really present something in front. Because if the promoter doesn't see it right away, then yeah, no.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, the truth is we don't provide another match. Therefore, we're money out of his pocket. I mean, that's just the reality.
Yep.
So you have to present yourself as money in his pocket, not out of his pocket. And I don't mean to sound egotistical when I say this, but I have Sly's Guy's faction, and I have people that come to our shows to see me. And they need to know that because, like you just said, if what defines the manager is the guy who a wrestler brings along to drive for him so he doesn't have to drive and says, maybe I can get you booked as, you know, either a referee or a manager, it takes away from the takes away from the experience. It makes us look bad. And then the most important thing, in my opinion, because I hope you agree with me on this, is our job is to enhance our wrestlers and make their match better, not get over ourselves. And so if we...
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Sorry about the feedback, folks, from the freaking messages.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1.
To listen to your message, press...
Got it?
There we go, got it. Yay.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Hang on, folks. Well,
if you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Sorry, you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Please try again later.
I think you've got gremlins in your computer today, B-Train. I think there's little gremlins running around.
Right.
Sounds
like we're good. So, anyway, I was just about to make a huge point. So wrestlers are out here in the indie scene. They're trying to make sure that they put on a good match between the two of them or the four of them if it's a tag match. And oftentimes, especially when they don't know who you are, they're very apprehensive about wanting to add one more person to the equation because that's one more person that could botch a spot. And especially when you go out there and you're not a trained manager and you shouldn't be out there in the first place, and it makes no sense that you're out there and then you botch a spot, your career is over before it started. Just saying.
Also, Sylvester, here's the thing. When I see managers that try to put themselves over, I don't know if this irks you because you're told as a manager in training, you never, ever should take more than four spots. And I've seen a few guys that do, you know, four or five spots here and there. I said, unless your name was Bobby Heenan or unless your name was Jim Cornette, why are you taking, and even they didn't take that much, but if they take more than their fair share of spots from the wrestlers, then
yeah, no, I think that's a fair statement, but also at the same time, you do that, and if that wasn't the intention, then the wrestlers won't ever let that happen again, because in all reality, the wrestlers could have a match with you on the outside and pretend like you're not even out there and give you no spots. I mean, have you watched a Brock Lesnar match before? The only thing Paul Heyman's out there to do is talk. He certainly isn't out there. In fact, I almost dropped dead at the Greatest Royal Rumble when he got involved in a spot where Roman was climbing out of the cage, right? And he went over and slammed the door on him in order to keep him from leaving the cage. Then he had another spot, but it's the only two spots I've ever seen out of him in relation to Brock ever. But regardless, yeah, you're right. I mean, they feed him to you, and you take too many spots, they're eventually going to quit feeding to you. Because like you said, we shouldn't be the focus of the match, you know?
Well, and also, Sylvester, like, I've always, because I stressed to this my former manager that I used to work with, I said, you know, if you're so disappointed in not doing a booking, then make the best of it by working the merchandise table or promoting the promoter's promotion, because if you sit there and pout, then you look like a sourpuss, and why should the promoter book you to begin with? Because here's my thing. If, you know, I was there doing merchandise, I'm a former manager myself. I've managed maybe – yeah, one match this year because I do this show, and I said to myself, it's a love-hate relationship with professional wrestling. I don't know if it is that for you, but it's an addiction, folks. It's not just a hobby for us, even if you're just a manager or a referee. When you go on the road with your wrestler that you've known, like I go on the road with Kurt Gannon I've been on, let's see, road trips with him for the last 2.5 years, and I got to tell you, it's fun, you know, talking about the match and stuff, but I got to ask you, has there ever been a point in your career where you've said, man, this is getting really redundant, I'm burnt out, or I need to take a step back, I need to clear my head? Have you ever had that moment in your career, Sylvester?
Well, I don't know what to say. I was necessarily burnt out. I just, I started my career, so to speak, in 1997, and I went to the cities in Minneapolis area, and Eddie Sharkey had a promotion there called Pro Wrestling America, and I hooked up with the Hellraisers and got trained there. One of the Hellraisers went on to become Bam Neely in ECW, if you remember Bam Neely at all. But anyway, I did that for a couple of years, and at that time in my life, I hadn't graduated from college or anything, and I couldn't afford to keep doing it. And so my last show I worked was that show that I was on with Sensational Sherry and George Animal Steel, and I managed Iron Sheik that night. And I just thought, you know, this is a good way to go out for a while, you know. And so I went out for a while, finished school, got my teaching job. I'm a college professor now. And my kids kind of got into it, and I came back about 5-6 years ago. I was going to work one night, and like you just said, it's an addiction, and I got bit, but I'm in a position in life now that I can that I can do that. I also have a home promotion that I love called Fully Loaded Wrestling, who, you know, I've had very good luck with, you know, building storylines around my faction and around my guys. So I think what happens, you know, sometimes is if you're just randomly working different promotions and just getting random matches, that can get to be tough because, you know, like you said, these guys don't know you, they don't trust you necessarily, they don't want to. But I also think, as you just said about, you know, being on the road in the business and stuff. I mean, I truly appreciate all the relationships that I've made. I mean, you get guys that are truly, honestly, still making a full-time living out of this. May not be a great full-time living, but they're traveling 7 days a week, or planning travel a couple of those 7 days. And you meet guys that, you know, that are doing it. But, I mean, in this day and age, anybody who's involved in professional wrestling is involved for professional wrestling because they love the art of professional wrestling. They love the sport. And so for that reason, you know, you're meeting good, genuine people. And I love that. I love that. Eric Bischoff, like I inducted him to the Wall of Champions in the Minnesota Wrestling Hall of Fame yesterday too. And what a simple, gentleman. I mean, he was, you know, he's living on a ranch in Cody, Wyoming now. I mean, you think the old Eric Bischoff that we knew from the Attitude Era would be whining and dining in, you know, a fancy hotel in New York today, as opposed to on a ranch in Cody, Wyoming. But that was his gimmick, and he did it amazingly well. And he made a lot of money, and he was just good at what he did. So
I gotta ask
that's
you, Sylvester,
a long
about
answer.
That whole thing. Yeah, that's a long answer, but I got to ask you this question. I tend to watch other stuff on the network as well. It's my job, as you know, entails as a broadcast journalist, as one wise man once said, rest in peace, Bobby Heenan. I watched an episode with JBL, Eric Bischoff, and I think it was Diamond Dallas Page or somebody else. Or no, it was Pritchard, and they asked Bischoff about why he took most of WWE's talent, and he goes, JBL said, so what did you think our perception of us was, is that we had pitchforks and torches during the Attitude Era, and Vince said, you better terrorize WCW's halls, and Bischoff just had a smirk on his face, and he goes, yeah, you couldn't have said it better, I couldn't have said it better myself, and I just laughed, because I go, man, back in that day, you, me, and Granny both know that the Monday Night Wars were so bad to the point where if you were a WCW guy coming into WWE, you better pray you last longer than 3 months.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Ted Turner, you know, gets off the hook in all this, and Bischoff gets blamed for everything. But the truth is it'd be, you know, it'd be no different than today than if somebody within, like Bill Gates, decided to give somebody an open checkbook and say, go take Vince McMahon down. Like, I mean, Bischoff had an absolute open checkbook. So he was like, what am I going to do? Well, first and foremost, I'm going to go buy up all the WWE's talent. And second of all, I'm going to create a storyline gimmick that makes sense as to the fact that we're gonna burn the place down, and we're gonna take everybody with us. I mean, it's a genius gimmick idea, really, if you think about it. But the key to the whole story is the absolute wide open checkbook that Ted Turner gave him, and for some reason that seems to always get overlooked because Ted Turner was never in the limelight in all of it. But.
Now, so Granny, myself, and Icon and Swing discussed this. Do you think that part of the turning point, and I always tell fans this, and, you know, other fans, I say, it wasn't when Bischoff decided to give himself a lot of rope and hang himself with it and basically give the story away for Mick Foley winning the championship on Monday Night Raw. Yes, that was a turning point. But, Sylvester, I got to ask you, do you think – that Bischoff's demise happened, or WCW's demise happened, when AOL merged instead of, you know, the whole merger with Ted Turner and his corporation and TNT, because I think as soon as AOL took over, that was the death of WCW as we know it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very valid take. I've never really given it that much thought. I always looked at it more from a booking standpoint, and the fact that they never ever started developing their own new talent, and they just kept riding the storyline and riding the horse into the ground. I mean, Jericho is the first person to say that, you know, he felt 100% disrespected at WCW because he wasn't one of the WWF guys that came over. And, you know, I mean, they added so many people to the NWO that legitimately the biggest fan of the world right now would miss a few when they started listing who was all in there. I mean, right, the Scott Nortons of the world. You know, they just kept riding that storyline right into the ground and didn't change anything. And the numbers of people attending the shows was just plummeting. And they continued to just do things the way that they were doing things. And I think that's because he was just given an open checkbook and said, go for it, with no experience. I think he did an amazing job with you know, what he originally did, but they didn't develop and they didn't evolve. I mean, if you really think about it. And the other thing to me, I think, is I look at Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, because they came up during that time through and made themselves into, you know, icons that were developed through the WWF at the time and kind of saved WWF, you know?
Basically, WWE or F or whatever back then was drowning folks. And I remember as a kid, and I'm sure Granny remembers this as a fan, you know, and we all remember this, when Vince McMahon came on the TV and said, we will be changing the direction of our company. We will be having or fluctuating or injecting it with more attitude. Yeah, when they introduced D-Generation X, I literally said to myself, well, I know I'm going to get in trouble at school for wearing the shirt that says D-Generation X, two words, suck it, on the back. I didn't care. It was one of those revolutions back then in wrestling in which you see now. I mean, now the biggest, closest thing to a revolution is the women's revolution. And that's great. You know, I love women's wrestling and all, but to me, if I have to judge based on a show that actually captures fans' attention, Monday Night Raw on occasion can do that, Sly, but I think I'm going to say SmackDown Live is the show that I choose, because it literally gives you a new look every single week. It's not the same matches, in my opinion. Like I said, Monday Night Raw is good, but it's not the Monday Night Raw that we all know and love from 96 up until 2004, when it was its strongest, you know, with Kane, Undertaker, you know, all the accolades and stuff. And yes, women's wrestling has evolved, but I think wrestling fans, if you think that's why a lot of fans gravitate more towards independent scenes like Ring of Honor, FLW, TC, you know, a whole bunch of indie names, the reason, is this the reason why, Sly, that you think, or I think, or Granny thinks that the indies has risen again, is because the WWE fails to provide some of that stuff?
Yeah, I pick my words wisely when I say this. I think the rise of the indie wrestling, the ROHs, the Impacts, the New Japan, is partially in part to the fact that, you know, as the internet continues to evolve, we continue to have opportunities to see that stuff easier. But I also think that the pro wrestling fan has shifted that direction. Okay. That being said, I don't think WWE really pretends a lot anymore to be professional wrestling. They are professional. They're wrestling entertainment, and wrestling entertainment means marketing to the masses. And the masses, I mean, I still know people who, you know, who look at, who are, you know, 10, 11 years old, who have grown up with World Wrestling Entertainment, and they love this, and they love it, and they think this is, you know, a revolution. But I also think this is a sign of the times in this world. I mean, we just become so politically correct that, you know, that this is the closest thing to a revolution we can have anymore, you know. And it's awesome, and it's great for the women, and it gives them something new and fresh to focus on. But yes, the person who is in love with professional wrestling, you know, factions and, you know, that are coming in and putting a beating on people instead of factions that are eating as many pancakes as they can at one time, you know, are gravitating back towards professional wrestling.
I got to point this out, dude. I like New Day, but I also don't like them in the sense that they're the comedic gimmick and you need a variety of gimmicks. I went to one of Jerry Lynn's seminars, sat in and listened. When he said you need a variety for your show, that's true. But New Day kind of ticks me off in the way that I feel that because of this generation and how butthurt they get whenever you introduce something like Black Power or Nation of Domination type stuff, the gimmick that they were originally going towards was going towards that, but when they turned back into a jokey gimmick, I couldn't take them seriously until I saw their match at Hell in a Cell with the Usos. Now, that was right. Switching my head. Oh, they can actually work, man. They can actually work. I'm not saying they can't, but have you ever had a moment as a manager going, I got to bite my tongue because this dude or this gal can – they just need work back in the training facilities or whatever, because sometimes when you're a manager and you see the talent from outside the ring, you dine with them, you eat with them, and you go see them in the ring, you're like, and you still haven't changed. You're saying that in your head because you don't ever say that, folks. If you're a manager, you don't ever say, damn, dude, you haven't changed. You suck.
Right.
You know, but in your head, you're thinking, holy crap, this person can't work.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess to answer that question, I would say yes. But at the same time, as I think you would say, was it Jerry Lynn? Is that who you said?
Yes, Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, Jerry Lynn. So I was just with Jerry Lynn actually yesterday, and he did a seminar for AWF in Princeton on Saturday night. Jerry Lynn. But the point is that Jerry Lynn made is you need the vast variety, right? On your card, and you need the veterans, and you need the guys that are proven, and you need that for your budget too, right? Because when people get to be amazing, their price goes up, and the guys on your card who, you know, aren't developing very fast or are pretty green, you aren't having to pay a lot to. And then, you know, if you have a strong group of veterans that can work with those people and give them feedback after their matches, and hopefully they're humble enough to appreciate that and learn from that they can continue to evolve. We have a couple of indie guys that are with our promotion by the name of Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin, and they're both big indie guys in the Minnesota scene, and they're like super awesome people on top of being great workers. And Eric likes to work the opening match because he likes to get the crowd engaged and get the crowd to understand how the show should go, because he will go the extra mile to engage the crowd. And that way it sets up for the other guys in the other matches that maybe can't engage the crowd as well to have engaged crowds, which give them that energy to perform, you know, better than they maybe would have. So long answer again. I think you're right. There are some people that struggle and maybe struggle for their whole career, but as long as everybody, you know, supports each other and understands where everybody's at, I've usually had some pretty realistic promoters that I've worked with, and guys are pretty realistic about where they're at, because if they aren't, they aren't going to get booked again.
Well, it's true, because like I say, like now promoters, like I've been through promotions in Kansas. I've been through promotions in Arkansas. I've been through promotions in Oklahoma, Texas. And I have to train myself, because it's like, okay, it's not the caliber of this, but they're still trying to put in the work. And as a manager, you really have to, like I tell everyone else that's starting out, there are times when you have to bite your tongue, but if something is in safety regards, whether the ring's not safe or the promoter is a scumbag, then it's going to be, hey, I got to stay or stand up and say something. If you don't book me again, I understand, but you've got to be safe with your ring and you've got to pay your boys. And also, Granny, should we tell Sylvester that story about the promoter that didn't do any of that? Yeah, go ahead.
Say what?
Go ahead and tell Sylvester what we went through.
Oh, are you talking about in Pittsburgh, Kansas?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're that scumbag lives or whatever.
Okay, okay. We went to go see, we were going to go see Abyss at a show in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And when my husband and my son and I got in the building, because that's where actually B-Train and I actually met, was in Pittsburgh, and that's where I met Kirk Gannon as well. We walked in that building, and I looked at my husband and my son. I said, there is no way that this is going to work. Now, the promoter, mind you, was dressed in a pair of Batman pajama pants. He started getting mad at everybody. He started cussing, and that's when we kind of walked outside. Well, the owner, it was in a bar, the owner of the venue said, oh yeah, you can have your match, but she was telling them that they could just put mats down on the floor like high school wrestling. There is no way that that's going to work.
Right.
So in the process, a very good friend of mine, he decided to come up with the idea to at least do a meet and greet, which they did. We got to meet Abyss and everything, and he was very nice. He loved my name, Granny Holster. He said, Granny, if we'd had this monster ball match, I would have had you in my corner and you could have handed me thumbtacks. Well, worst case scenario, the promoter did not pay Abyss the full amount of his money that he was promised. He booked him on a flight going back through Chicago after Abyss told him, do not book me through Chicago because of the weather right now.
Right.
And then he blamed my friend, where he was putting all the blame on my friend's fault, which my friend was the one who was just trying to make everything right for everybody that showed up. Now, the venue itself, they were charging like a cover charge. If you were 21 years and older, you paid $2 to get in. If you were under 21, you had to pay $10. If you wanted to go outside and smoke a cigarette, then you came back in, you had to pay another $5 to get back in the door. Another friend of mine that was there was with some other friends. He saw a lady at the bar sitting there smoking, and he just asked if he could sit there and smoke a cigarette at the bar, and she told him no, he needed to go outside and smoke. Now, my one friend, he had his daughter with him because his son was at a Boy Scout camp, so they didn't have a babysitter for his daughter, so his daughter, Selena, was with him. He wasn't going to pay to meet Abyss, so I paid for Thomas and Selena to come in, you know, so Thomas could meet Abyss. But worst-case scenario, this promoter has blocked everybody off of Facebook. Basically, when I messaged him asking for my money back of my tickets, he said, well, you need to give credit where credit's due, and you didn't. I have yet to see my $105 from that man that I paid.
Yeah, I unfortunately, sometimes in this business, and it gives everybody a bad name, you get the marks or the fans that think that they want to become promoters because it's the cool thing to do, and hey, I can book my show however I want to, blah blah blah. They don't do proper advertising. I mean, did you? What kind of a draw did the show get?
Well, we didn't even have the show.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
well,
we didn't,
yeah.
And I mean,
because they
and,
had no ring.
There
had no
some,
ring? Or the ring didn't.
Well,
fit in
no,
there.
they had the ring set up when we got there, but.
Oh.
The ceiling was too low. There would have been no way they would have been able to do any kind of moves in that ring without bumping their heads on something.
Sure.
And, you know,
that's where she
it
said
was
they,
just, okay. It was horrible. And, you
so
know,
so it was just
a
horrible
Brandon
planning on the part of the promoter, obviously. I mean, he went and checked out the venue, ahead of time.
Well, he didn't check out the venue. That was the problem. And right. when he found out, you know, he says, oh, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's good. Well, it wasn't good. Now, I mean, I don't know everything. I mean, yes, I have been a fan for a long time. I have helped friends with other small wrestling federations that did not work out. I was trying to help them, tell them what they needed to do, you know, to make a good show. I mean, I would not want to be a promoter. I mean, right. I will be a fan. But I know enough that about this business that when I walked in that building, I told my husband, I said, there ain't going to be no show. And when he started cussing everybody out like he was doing, I mean, and first of all, if you're a promoter, you need to dress a lot more professionally than a pair of Batman pajama pants. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, it's a difficult. I mean, being a promoter is work, constant work. Booking the venue, getting your posters out, figuring out what other forms of advertising you need. You know, what else? Sponsors. Sponsors are really the only key to success.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. That's what I told my friends that were running a small federation. I said, you need to get, you know, advertise this. You need to, you know, get the word out, you know, posters, whatever. But this promoter that in Pittsburgh, Kansas, he had to cancel a show up in, I believe it was Topeka, Kansas, too, because of the same. He didn't know what he was doing, but he claimed that he was a part of WWE for 2 years.
Yeah, I bet.
See, when someone says that to Sylvester and me, I don't know about you, dude, but I go and look you up immediately online and look at your name in Google, because as soon as you say, I've worked for the E, all right, even if you're an extra, your name ain't going to pop up unless you were, you know, immediately in NXT or developmental. Now, this is the last and final question, Mr. Sylvester Fox. When someone comes to you and says, okay, I'm starting out manager, I want to be a heel, what is your initial reaction to that person?
Well, my first initial reaction to that person is that you need to take two steps back and say, you know, that you want to pursue a career as a manager and find the right place to get trained, how to take bumps and whatever else, and you can worry about whether you're going to be a heel or a face, and those type of things as things go on. I mean, unfortunately, yeah, in this business, wrestlers and managers, fans that decide this is what they want to do, they put the cart in front of the horse first and foremost, and it's very difficult if you're going to leave the cart in front of the horse to ever get moving. And unfortunately, you know, the radars are up for promoters. Again, we're going back to, why do I need a manager? You know, I mean, that's a loaded question. Why do I need a manager as a booker? I mean, what do you bring to me? Like, you're going to need to go out and work places and develop a reputation and develop a fan base and whatever else to get to the point where a promoter of a reputable promotion actually believes that you're of value to book, because you don't provide an extra match for him. I mean, that's the bottom line that a wrestler does, you know.
All right, Sylvester, is there any upcoming promotions that you are working in the current month of August or the end of July that you'd like to promote to fans to come out and see? Any promotions on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook that you would like to promote your handle? So this is now as forever now as the floor is yours. My bad, my vocabulary is not that great. I'm a manager, so.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I'm, you know, my home promotion is Fully Loaded Wrestling, based out of now Fargo, North Dakota. We will hopefully have an announcement here tonight on an upcoming show, I believe to be in October, most likely, but we'll find that out from our owner tonight. So I'm excited to get that going again, because Flies Guys is huge in Fully Loaded Wrestling. We've got every one of the belts except for the Outlaw Championship, which is our focus at the moment. I would be remiss if I didn't promote the Minnesota Wrestling Hall of Fame. You can look them up on Facebook. Minnesota Wrestling Hall of Fame is a great organization that I work with, that we're trying to get the great people that have been a part of Minnesota wrestling, both amateur and professional, the credit and recognition that they deserve for the years. And as you know, the AWA itself was hugely impactful in the development of professional wrestling as we know it today. So, like I said, we got Eric Bischoff on the Wall of Champions on yesterday. We've got Mean Gene Okerlund inducted into the Hall of Fame yesterday. And we got the great Baron Von Raschke inducted into the Minnesota Wrestling Hall of Fame on Friday night at a show that we did for the American Wrestling Federation based out of the city. So I'll be working some more with the American Wrestling Federation here in the not-so-distant future, and I just appreciate you having me on, man. Sylvester, Sylvester, Fox, F-O-X, on Facebook. I think of Sly Fox Wrestling, maybe, on Twitter. I'm not as big a Twitter guy as I am Facebook. Maybe that's the sign of my age. I don't know. you can always YouTube. I got VIT matches out there on YouTube. Just look for Sylvester J. Fox, period. I think I got to take Jake the Snake's last DDT back in January. That was an honor and a privilege because he was my absolute favorite wrestler growing up as a kid. So just appreciate you having me on, man. And it's always good to talk with a fellow manager and, a face lover that always likes to crack on us heels in Granny.
Well, I love you too, Sylvester, even though I would love to give you grief someday face-to-face, my friend, and maybe that'll happen. You know, he wants me to come to North Dakota sometime, so who knows? You know, that just might happen. You know, I don't know how the Fully Loaded wrestling fans would accept Granny, you know, up there in Fargo, but, you know, it might be fun to find out sometime, you know?
Absolutely. They'd love to have you. We're they're big fans here, and always open to new creative involvement.
Well, I tell you, I kind of had B-Train worried the other day because I made a post on Facebook, and boy, I knew kind of what the response was going to be, but I still wanted everybody's opinion because, you know, Granny's been having some serious health issues lately, and, you know, so I asked a question, you know, because, I mean, I was Lori Burt wrestling fan long before Granny Hulkster ever came into the picture, you know, and basically my responses that I got was pretty much what I had expected. But I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day. She said, it wasn't a silly question what you asked, because she says, sometimes we just need reassurance from the people we care about and the people that care about us. And, you know, and I knew deep down inside that I would always be Granny to everybody in the wrestling world that I know, you know. And so, you know, but, and I had B-Train worried that he was losing me as a co-host, and I said, no, B-Train, I'm not going to abandon you. And then, you know, of course, Big Swing and Icon, they had to confront me about this same situation. I'm like, no, guys, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, if I have to take a break from wrestling, you know, so be it, but I'm not, you know, Granny's not going anywhere anytime soon. So,
right. Well, cool. Well, B-Train, appreciate you having me on, man. I'm always available.
All right, thanks, Sylvester. All right, man. Thank you so much, Sylvester Fox, today, ladies and gentlemen. If you have any questions, email or message the Instagram of Wrestle Radio, Wrestle_Radio, and so on and so forth. Twitter handle, Facebook. All right, folks. Thanks. Bye. All right. So, folks, I don't care. We're going to run over a bit of time. I know it says the end of the show. I don't give a damn. We got to give these three wrestlers a bit of a pay an homage of respect, because Jerry Lawler's son, Brian Christopher, passed away in his prison cell. I'm not going to divulge the details of death because that is disrespectful. But if we could have 10 seconds of silence, please, for the wonderful spirits that are up in heaven, Brickhouse Brown, Nikolai Volkoloff, and Brian Christopher, the son of the late great legend Jerry the King Lawler. Please, 10 seconds. Prayers be with their families. You know, we've lost a lot of great workers the last few months. We've lost Bader. We've lost Rickhouse Brown, Nikai Volgolov, and Brian Christopher. We lost several others, which I don't have, like I said, I don't have the time frame to list every said wrestler down. But my God, Granny, we're losing a lot of big names in this business. And though some people may disagree with the Brian Christopher being a big name, let me inform you all. It's a pretty big deal because he was part of the trio with Scotty Tuhati and Rikishi. He's won the Cruiserweight Championship a couple of times, the Light Heavyweight Championship in WWE during the Attitude Era, tag team titles with Scotty Tuhati. He got into some trouble, yes, but I ain't here to talk about that. When you lose a family member in the wrestling community, Nikolai Volkov, Granny, was a big deal during my childhood. He was during the era with Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and all of them, and I remember meeting him at a very young age. Volkov was very friendly. It's sad that he's gone, but that man is by far he's going to be missed by the wrestling community. He's only 70 years young, and he was he's a mortal enemy of Hogan. He was a mortal enemy of a lot of guys, but he always said, you know, I must put other guys over because I will be not doing my job if I was a worker. And he said one of the best things about being a part of a wrestling family is they'll either love you and they pick you up when they need to pick you up, or they love you no matter what. And he said, I watched a documentary on him, and he spoke about how fun it was to be a part of stuff like WrestleMania and Royal Rumble and the beginnings of WWE's pioneering into the wrestling world. And Brickhouse Brown, if you think young or like an older Stevie Ray from Harlem Heat and a little touch of Bruiser Brody, Brickhouse Brown was a great worker, man. He worked with guys like Stan Hansen. He worked with guys like J.J. Dillon. Granny, it's funny. A lot of people are in amazement right now on our Instagram. How do you know this? How do you know this? It's because, folks, when I was little, my relatives would watch wrestling, and then I would watch it. And I'm pretty sure, you know, Granny's the same way. Like, her uncle or somebody may have taken into a few wrestling shows. Do you remember Brickhouse Brown, Granny?
I never got to see him actually wrestle, but I knew the name.
I'm pretty sure, you know, a lot of guys that could tell you about him. He was a good guy. He guided a lot of tag team workers, not just Harlem Heat, and that's his main discovery. They weren't discovered by Brickhouse, but Booker T and both Stevie Ray worked with him. If you take a look at LOD, the one remaining member, Hawk, or Animal, it's Animal, yes. Animal worked with him as well. He worked a lot of tag team matches, and he won a lot of matches in Texas. He was a heel and babyface. That doesn't matter now. But I tell you, Granny, that ring up in heaven is getting really full right now. It's got British Bulldog, Owen Hart.
Yes, it is. I mean, we've lost a lot of great wrestlers over the years, and yes, it is. So,
well, folks, Granny and I will have a better show where gremlins aren't invading my keyboard. But you know what, folks? We did get it done now, didn't we, Granny?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
So, see, I ain't panicking because I know how to run this stuff for 2 years, folks. Join me and Granny Holzer tomorrow. Tuesday, we're going to do a little quick advertisement. If you'd like to join the Monster Factory, you can do so by joining them at monsterfactory.org. Contact Danny Cage directly by email or the phone number listed on the website. That is monsterfactory.org.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to fight the good fight against cancer, SusanGComan.org, findthecure.com, and cureforconnor.org. Kick cancer square in the ass. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, then I, Brian Rails, got three choice words for you. Forget about it. And if you don't believe in what Granny Hulkster tells you, then I got some choice words for you. What you gonna do when Granny Hulkster runs wild and crazy all over you? Dig it. Dig the madness. Tomorrow, Wrestle Radio Tuesday, same time, 2 Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. Join in on the madness that is Wrestle Radio. Dig it. Toodles, bitches.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality.